Folks, that is a worst case scenario that actually was handled very well because driver gets away. He's not injured. Oh, by the way, though, I don't know if you heard, as he was going by the carjacker, there was a shot fired. And so that's what we're here to talk about today. Carjackings and things we can think about and hopefully prevent them. I am so thrilled to have my friend Rico with us. Rico is, and he's incredibly humble, so I'm going to brag a little bit on him. Rico is a true life action hero, folks. He's one of the guys that's out there every single day making sure that we're safe. And he's a police officer currently. He works in a major metropolitan area. I'll let him tell a little bit about himself here in a second. But I just want to say, Rico, I am so thankful for what you and your team do every day. I know you have been even recently in the middle of armed conflict, and thank God you're here by his grace. And that's a story for a different day, but my friend, I am grateful for you. I'm thankful, and I'm hoping that everybody that listens, first of all, understands that your counsel and your advice is coming from every day living it on the street. And we're grateful to have you. So, brother, tell everybody just a little bit about your experience. I know you've been on a long time, even though you look like you're 19. So
thank you. Thanks for having me, Tim. So I'm Rico. I've been in the law enforcement industry for about 24 years. I served in a tactical team. I was a terrorism liaison officer, and I'm currently serving under a federal task force. So the city I work, it's a big city, lots of problems, lots of crimes, lots of carjackings for sure. Yes.
So last year, Rico, and you know, first off, thank you, because I know you're incredibly busy. Thank you for coming. But I also know something about you. You're one of the men in my life that has such a high level of, number one, integrity, but commitment to training and preparing, so that when duty calls, you are ready to respond. And I know you work in an active violence task force where you need skills every day. And do me a favor, just a little bit off talk. Talk to me a little bit about your preparation prior to things happening, which I know they're happening a lot. And I know you were in an extremely serious situation not too long ago. Talk to me about that daily preparation.
Yeah, so basically, you know, it starts in the morning with a glass of water. Yeah. You know, we definitely do a lot of training. You know, we're constantly keeping up with training monthly. And again, right, like I mentioned, being in a big city, it definitely it's very much needed. Right, we have to be prepared, mentally prepared, physically prepare. So it's one of the things that we really take highly, right? So we do a lot of training. We basically run scenarios as we would encounter out on the street. And again, right, the more training you do, the better prepared you will be when the time comes. As you know, you know, on my incident over the summer, first of all, I'm very thankful to God that I'm talking to you. And right. Second of all, I truly thank my trainers. And, you know, it really came through. So that's one of the things that we constantly continue to do to be able to just work out there, you know, every day.
Rico, thank you for bringing that home, because a lot of people, they forget that their performance in a crisis is going to be directly correlated to their preparation and training. I know you take physical fitness, defensive tactics, firearm skills incredibly serious. I've been with you. And I also know that at the end of the day, your observation skills, your mental skills are very highly trained. And I think, you know, in fairness, I think you would agree that that's probably why you did so well in that situation. And so I just want to say to everybody, obviously Rico is a police officer. He's a professional, but that needs to be you and I too. We need to be game on, physically fit, mentally prepared for whatever comes your way, because just like that video when we started, you don't get to pick when crime, violence comes your way. You don't get to. If we could, we wouldn't go to those places.
Yep.
But unfortunately, they hit. And Rico, I know because of what you do, you're very attuned to armed carjackings and things going on. How are the bad guys pulling these off nowadays?
Yeah, so the city I live in, we had, get this, 1,800 carjackings last year.
Oh, that is
a high number. You know, but most of these carjackers are very young. You know, their ages range from 12 to 20 years old. And, you know, unfortunately, they're using these carjackers. They're using these vehicles to commit more serious crimes like robberies and shootings, too. So I'd say that it's safe to say that we've had a not just the COVID pandemic, but also carjacking pandemic. So that's what we're seeing now. And the numbers keep getting higher and higher.
Mm-hmm. So that is staggering. I mean, I can't believe those numbers. It's like, wow. So give me an idea of what these look like. How are they targeting their victims?
Well, let's talk locations, right? Locations where we're most vulnerable, I'd say, you know, driveways, pulling up to your house, going into your garage or coming out of your garage. This is when we could be most exposed, right? So wow. What they're doing is they're driving a stolen vehicle to get another vehicle, to get your vehicle. So basically, they watch you as you come in or out. And that's when they strike, right? You could be at a stoplight. They will do the bump where they'll hit you in the rear. You'll pull over, and then someone will actually come out with a handgun and carjack you. So they do them at the gas stations as you're pumping gas, ATMs as you're getting money out. So there's various ways that they're going about these things. Mm-hmm.
You know, Rico, this is fascinating to me because I'm learning from you that probably the most scary part of what you just said, all of them are scary at some level, but that they would approach you in your garage at your house, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that could go way worse, as, you know, maybe they're not there just to get the car. Maybe now it's a home invasion. And are you seeing any patterns with regard to how they're identifying victims, or are they just simply following that nicer car that they want home, or how is that working out?
Well, usually they will go for the nicer cars, right? Mm-hmm. They really like the high-end cars, mm-hmm. Specialty cars, like, you know, they like the fast cars, right?
Yeah.
But what we're seeing now too is they're actually going for women on SUVs, you know, so they're very opportunistic. You know, one of the things that also we've seen on social media is as they steal these cars, they're actually uploading videos live taunting the police.
Wow.
Just, you know, so that's wow. Really, yeah, they're usually, they take it to the next level. So, but yeah, so mainly, high-end vehicles for sure. But again, we're starting to see where they're just now going for the SUVs too.
Mm-hmm. So Rico, give me an idea of how people can protect themselves. I'm sure there's moms out here and there's, you know, dads and all kinds of different age groups, younger, older folks that are going, my gosh, you know, if they're going to hit me at the gas station, how do I protect myself against someone trying to take my car from my home, or give me some tips for people so that they understand, hey, there is something they can do rather than just being a victim.
Sure. Well, you know, let's talk gas station, right? When you pull up to the gas station, do not leave your car running. You're not supposed to, but definitely lock it. You know, keep your keys in your pocket. What I would recommend also is make sure that you leave your house keys separate from your car keys, you know, so that if, God forbid, that ever happens, you can just hand over the actual car key and you can still keep your house keys. But yeah, so definitely be aware of your surroundings. And I know we have heard that a lot of times. What does that actually mean? Well, it means not being on the phone, right?
Wow.
As you are pumping gas, you have to just be, if possible, out of the car, looking around, right? Stay in the safer neighborhoods, whatever those are. So yeah, just basically be aware of who's approaching your person, who's approaching your vehicle, so that you can be a little bit more prepared on how to react to a possible situation.
Mm-hmm. Such good, such wise counsel. Now, let me ask you this. Since they're following people home, what do you recommend to people? How do you keep that from happening?
Definitely. Well, do not drive home, obviously. So how can we find out, Tim, if we're being followed? Well, there's a bunch of ways, right? What I like to do is make a right turn. And make another right turn and make another right turn, right?
Yeah.
And then continue to see if that vehicle that you think it's following you is still behind you, right? Yeah. So that's one of the things that you can do to actually know if someone's following you. If that's the case, if you notice that the vehicle behind you continues to follow you, the one thing I'd say, if you're close to home, do not drive home. You don't want to let them know where you live, right?
Yeah.
So what to do next? Well, drive to the closest police station, right? And as you're driving, how do you know where the closest police station is from where you are? You might not know the area. Well, very simple, right? Ask Siri or Google, hey, navigate to the closest police station.
Yeah.
So if you have to get on the phone and call 911 and let dispatch know that you believe you're being followed, do so. Give them the description of your vehicle. Also, something very important, if you can try to memorize your license plate, that is very helpful for when stuff happens. So that's one of the things that people could do as they're being followed.
So wise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what about, though, you mentioned the bump and runs. Obviously, we've all been trained since we were little kids. You got our license at 16. Hey, if you get bumped, you pull over to the side, you exchange information. What do you do now?
Yeah, it's a tough one, Tim, because, you know, people have accidents out there and people not might necessarily be trying to steal your vehicle. And if you don't pull over, well, they're going to think that you're fleeing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is that I would advise as that happens, just continue to go to a populated place where you can pull over, you know, pull in and in a parking lot. And again, right, if you're going to get carjacked, you are going to get carjacked, right? And we'll talk about in a second what to do when that happens. But we want to be where people are. So the more people that are around us, the safer it could turn out, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's really good advice. And I think it naturally leads us to where you were going. So we were on our phone. We missed it. And now we're in the middle of a carjacking. And it seems like about every other week there's a mom who has kids in the car.
Yes.
And now your kids are, I mean, I know it's a horrific situation. Would you have any words of wisdom for anybody in that situation?
Yes. So kids or no kids, please give up the car. Your life is worth it. The car is not. If you don't have any kids, just give up the car. Mm-hmm. If you have a kid inside your vehicle, what you say is you tell these individuals, my child is in the car. So you have to be very clear about that, right? Just let them know, please let me take my child out of the back seat. And what we've seen, Tim, is that they usually will do so. They will allow you to do so. So definitely, I cannot reiterate more. Definitely let the car go. The car is not worth it. You know, it's not worth your life. So after that happens, call 911. Try to see a description of the individuals. Like I mentioned in the beginning, they usually are driving other vehicles. If at all possible, try to remember the description of that vehicle. So yeah, that would be the way to go about that. Just let the car go. Very likely what we've seen on videos, they will, after carjack you, they will go through your pockets. So just keep your hands up, look down, and just say, hey, Taver, take everything that you want. Please don't hurt me. And just let them do what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the awkward one, the really tough one is if you're a female and they want you to, or a male and they want you to get in the car, obviously their excuse is going to be taking you to ATMs, but maybe it's way more evil than that. At what point do you just say, you know, hey, I'm not running, and I don't think there's I'm not going. I don't think there's an answer to that. I think it goes to your public being in a public place and screaming your head off.
It's a tough one, Tim. I usually advise women to not get in the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because that could turn into something else.
Yeah.
And again, right? It's just one of those things that we have to decide at the moment, but I would totally advise against getting into the vehicle. One of the best things that I tell women is just drop on the ground. If they're trying to lure you or pull you into the vehicle, it's harder to pull a body that's limp versus you helping them get inside the vehicle. So what you do is just drop to the ground, scream as hard as you can, and hopefully someone will come to your aid.
Such great advice. That's exactly, you know, the counsel I give as well. Don't go. You know, I'd rather, you know, I've told my daughters their whole life, you know, there are certain things that you're not going to go. So now the question of the tactic of I've seen this recently, folks getting out at a light, cars are stopped, multiple subjects get out. How do you avoid that? How do you stop being carjacked right at an intersection?
Yeah, so usually stay on the outer lanes, right? If you're in a 3 or 4 lane street, stay either at the outermost right or left lane. Always give yourself space from the vehicle in front of you. I like to have about a car's length to possibly a car and a half, 2 cars length. So why? Because that'll give us enough time or reaction time to be able to maneuver if we see someone possibly in a rear view mirror or side view mirror, to just be able to either take the curb, assuming that there's no pedestrians. And again, right, we have to remember we are responsible for our actions because we're behind that vehicle. We're behind the steering wheel of the vehicle. But at the same time, we do not want to become victims if we don't have to. So definitely give yourself some space from the car in front of you. And if at all possible, always stay on the left lane or the right lane of a stoplight so that you're able to just exit out of there if it need be.
That's sage advice, my friend. And I'll tell you, for most people, most going back to that mental computation that happens in quarter seconds, most people have been trained their whole life. Oh, you don't jump curbs. It took me a while as a police officer to figure that out. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. I go right over this curb. And I think that goes towards, you know, we talked about this in other podcasts, but it goes towards, in a crisis, the fact that 90% of what you need is up here. And the most important question you can ask yourself is, what would I do if? And, you know, people go, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be afraid. It's not fear, folks. It's wisdom and preparation. And it boils down to, what would you do for your family not to have to go through that? And that wisdom, that mental preparation, it's so good. And it's such an important point that if you're at that intersection, people begin to come out with guns, but you've done what Rico said. You have adequate distance. You have an exit strategy. Well, what about cars coming the other way? Let me tell you something. I'd rather cause a major malfunction in the traffic and everything else and get away from people that are armed. Because unfortunately, and Rico is the master of this, violence is becoming much more commonplace. It used to be, they want the money, they want the car, and they go on. Well, now we're seeing, for whatever reason, they want the money and they're willing to kill you for it. Sometimes they want to make a statement. And Rico, I just want to circle back around. You know, a lot of folks are saying, oh, it's not that bad. It's not, you know, it's the statistics, all this kind of stuff. Is it growing? Is violence growing across our country?
The answer is yes. And I would say in the entire country, again, going back to what we were talking about, they are doing carjackings. But what they're starting to do now is basically they're kidnapping you. They're keeping you inside the car. They're driving, making you drive to the ATM. And they make you get money out. And then they drop you off. And they'll still take your car. So definitely crime is up on the rise. And one of the things that you mentioned that's very important and that I agree with, we constantly have to be thinking about what could possibly happen, the what is, right?
Yeah.
And again, right, I do agree with some people that say, well, why would I want to live that way? Well, we just need to be prepared for what might happen, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it will happen, right, but I think we are going to be better prepared if it happens. What would I do if someone's going to take my car right now, right?
Yeah.
I constantly carry a handgun, right? One of the things that I would do is I would let them take the car. That's right. What I would do.
Right.
Because my life is more important, right?
Right.
And again, right? So, this is a very fluent and dynamic environment, and we just constantly just be preparing ourselves mentally just to encounter those situations in a better way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rico, I don't know that I've heard anybody put it more succinctly. I mean, you're spot on, and it's practical. It's a mindset shift, though, and that's what I find a lot of people think, oh, it'll never happen to me. And you know what? If you're playing the odds, you're probably right. But if it does, listening to what Rico just told us may be the difference between your family living, because remember, you go through that horrible event, an hour, 2 hours going from ATM, you know, to ATM in fear for your life. You're going to have some serious PTSD issues for the rest of your life. And Rico, I'm going to get you back on if I can. I'd love to get your perspective on armed citizens. And I know I'm not talking about the politics of that. I'm simply saying that it seems like there are more and more armed citizens out here that are taking action. And let me just say, that could be really good or really bad. We know that based on the training. So in the days ahead, I'd love to pick your brain. I am so grateful for you, my friend. I have learned much from training with you. I think you and I had the misfortune to go to fortunate for us, you know, to be together, but misfortune of going to a house of worship where someone was actually killed in the church and them trying to process, no, wait a minute. You know, we've been doing it this way for 50 years. We've never, ever had to think about that. And at some point on the podcast, I'm going to jump into how to protect the softer targets, synagogues, houses of worship, because I think there's a lot of not so good thinking and information out there. But for today, my friend, I think you have served a lot of people very well. And I'm grateful first for you. Again, thank you for serving and protecting us at risk of your own life every day and for what you do. And thank you, secondly, for being my friend, a person I can count on, and I don't ever have to wonder about you. I know, regardless of what's going on, you're going to be there for me.
Thank you.
So, brother, thank you. My prayers are with you and your family, and I'm very grateful for this time. And I'm coming after you, though, because I want more of that wisdom. And thank you for making
Thank you for having me, team. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Stay safe, brother.
Thank you. Okay.